There's no, oh yeah, the green, no, I didn't even, the green light is on.
Is that
what we're doing? We're gonna start? Okay.
You have enough? Yeah.
Okay. Just, oh, I printed this out on
Can you grab me one? Here, take this one. I'll
Friday.
grab another one.
Printed this out on Friday.
Probably the different account. I'm used to the one down here.
Yeah, we moved it out here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Makes sense, you know? It's always recording.
Yeah, it's been a problem. It's just not doing it.
Didn't say it.
Yeah, now.
No.
Always good for the fun.
All right. Okay.
Now get another one.
We have 15 seconds to start at 5:30. We'd like to help them along. We're just going to do those with these.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call to order the May 6, 2025 Newtown Borough Council session. Please stand and join me to the floor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Before we move on to public to be heard, I'd just like to announce that prior to this work session, Council met in executive session to discuss personnel. All right, do we have any public to be heard?
Charles Sports, 323 Washington Avenue. I noticed on the agenda tonight there are two things that, under the managing report, that I'd just like to comment on. And the first is the snow plowing contract. I understand that that's going to be up for review. And I would just like to say that I have heard from many people around town in regards to the fact that there was a problem this year with snow plowing and the cleaning of the streets and removing of the snow. And I think it was noted, at least from myself and from watching what was being done here, that the plowing was not up to snuff, and it was not up to snuff for what was done for the past 20 years that Scott's All Seasons has been doing it. And I do believe that it was as a result of being given different directions by the borough and or the people involved with it, which was the manager and the mayor, in regards to how things were going to be, the streets were going to be cleaned and taken care of. So I don't think it was any fault of the contractor. I think it was more direction. And I think it's something that the direction can be handled differently. And as long as the contract has been done by Scott's All Seasons, the borough has been in very good shape with that. So I'd like to just let that be heard, that I feel that the contract and the Scott's All Seasons has been doing very well for us. And I think we should be at least given the opportunity to stay on because they've done a good job. The second thing is that the new sidewalks and construction. We did have a meeting the other night for the Planning Commission, and we did discuss that to some extent. So I think that's one of the things that I think is very good to start to be enforcing the fact that sidewalks and curbing, especially on Penn Street and many other streets, because of the flooding issue that has been addressed there at Penn Street, curbing would help sufficiently. The final part of that was the much discussion was done about the flooding on Penn Street. And it's the first time that I've ever known that we do not have any storm sewer management anywhere from Penn Street, from the township line through the Lincoln Avenue. There is no drainage on Penn Street from that standpoint, which exacerbates the whole flooding issue, and curbing will help some of that, but it's still not going to take care of alleviating any of the other process in there. So thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other public to be heard?
Hey, Tim Jones, 522 Penn Street. To piggyback off of that, I think I was here at the Planning Commission meeting the other night, and I would just stress that whatever it ultimately comes from the Planning Commission for 532 Penn Street, think long and hard before providing a waiver on the sidewalk. I think we sorely need a sidewalk on that street, and I think that development that's coming from someone that's outside of our community that ultimately is just coming here to maximize his revenue is granted that waiver. I think that sets a dangerous precedent for going forward and the potential development of other places along the way. So if ultimately that's what the Planning Commission recommends, I would just ask that you all think long and hard about that. Lastly, the 600 block of Penn Street, the development that is in discussions, I know it's township property, but I've communicated to a few of you all, and you all recommended that we come, or that I come and see what can be done and have the borough council representation or borough representation as a whole attend township meetings to advocate on the borough's behalf. I really think that no matter what happens, if something is built there and it's 300 some apartments and Liberty Center is built and that's 100 and whatever apartments, that's adding way too many, too much to our community. Again, I know that's township property over there, but having that many apartments less than a mile apart is just unfathomable to me. So I think my street would suffer. I think Washington would suffer. I think it would just be very detrimental to everything. So if you all could kind of represent us, and we will represent us as well at those meetings, that would be great.
Thank you. Any additional questions?
I wouldn't. I have property at 110 South State Street. I understand that the Liberty Center project may be discussed tonight, so I'd like to possibly comment after the discussion once we hear what the council is thinking. Thank you.
Just so you know, the only discussion is going to be about the subcommittee. It's not about the project itself. So I don't want you to sit here forever. It's just announcing a change of guard on the subcommittee. That's it. Any additional public to be heard? Okay. Moving on, Michelle, engineer's report.
I have no agenda items that should be brought to the regular council meeting next week. Just a couple updates. State and Court Street development. Although that says no change, we did hear from the developer and the borough received some payment, just not the full payment. Is that correct?
For Court and State.
For, yes, yes.
And we're still, yes.
You're still working on that. So hopefully all of those outstanding invoices will be paid soon and that project could come to a close. 110 North State Street, we're still in a holding pattern waiting for revised plans to be submitted. Liberty Center will be discussed a little bit later, but we're waiting for the committee to, give their recommendations and for the developer to say which way he's going to go. 2026 road program, the manager is waiting for a proposal from our office to do survey work that needs to be done for the proposed work at the Brian Gray Park. So that is on us. And the one only other thing that I did not include on my engineer's report is the development on Penn Street. We did submit our review and that was reviewed by the Planning Commission on Monday.
Great. Any questions from Michelle? All right, thanks, Michelle. Okay, so we're moving an item from the manager's report now because we want Michelle to be able to be here for this discussion, which is the installation of sidewalks with new construction.
Yeah, I asked to have this on the agenda. As those of you who live on Penn Street and in that section of Ward 2 would know, there's been a lot of teardowns and rebuilds and new homes being built in that area on Penn and Center. And because they aren't subdivisions, they're not being required to install sidewalks where there currently aren't any. However, our ordinance, the streets and sidewalks ordinance does have a section that states that borough council can require property owners to install sidewalks. And that would include sidewalks, curbs, and driveway aprons inside the hall. And so I bring this to our attention to find out, and this probably need a little bit of input from our solicitor as well, whether we can rely on this section that exists in our ordinance at this moment and then ask and then inform the developers that they need to install sidewalks as part of their frontage plans, or whether we are going to need to do any revisions or amendments to our ordinance to state that. I recall Michelle and I had this conversation with council previously about 4 years ago when we were doing the e-code update. When we were revising the streets and sidewalks ordinance, when we got started the discussion about when does one require a property owner to make those upgrades, primarily being at that time curbs and driveway aprons, and then of course that also includes sidewalks. And the discussion sort of stalled, and one of the reasons was that it was holding up the whole E-code process, and we had decided at that time not to pursue that discussion but to come back to it. So I would like to recommend that we come back to it. Some of the discussion item or items for discussion that came up at that point were, do we require improvements that anytime there's a road opening permit, or when they're putting in a new driveway, or when they're building a new house, or they're building a sizable addition, increasing the size of the house by any number of percentages? Is it the cost of the proposed improvement that would drive this? These are all the things that one would need to consider, but the question is, do we need to update our ordinance to include those things, or can we say to the developers who are buying up houses and tearing them down and replacing them now, is that and then inform our borough engineer that when the frontage permit comes in, that it needs to include sidewalks, curbs, and driveway aprons.
At first glance, looking at this now, which I'm you're referencing 480-46,
yes,
it would appear to me that it's council's discretion to direct any property owner to install a sidewalk at their expense. And so if council wants to give that direction, that when there is a permit for any development, that sidewalks are required, I think that you have the ability to do that. I would also recommend that council would revisit the regulations to expand on this, to make sure, if council's current desire is to make sure that sidewalks are installed at any point, to just make it a standing part of the ordinance as opposed to a directive. I think it's clearer and better notice to the public that that's a requirement.
And would it then go, it would stay in the streets and sidewalks ordinance?
I think that we'd have to evaluate where the best place for that is. Having not had the opportunity to review the entire of the ordinance to see where the best place would be, there may be other opportunities that make more sense. But in the way this section is worded, I think council does have the ability to direct that at any point in its discretion.
And I would just suggest that it's already a requirement in your subdivision land development ordinance.
Right.
So a subdivision land development has to do it or get a waiver from council to do so. I agree with Greg that you can require people to do it. It's, as Greg said, development. What constitutes development? And I don't think that you, if your intention is to grab all of the new development within the borough, you can't do it just as a road opening permit or just as a frontage permit,
right?
Because some of the developments that I have seen, they use the same driveway. So you're not, and there's no improvements in the right of way. So you want to capture those developments that tear down the house, put up a new house, and use the existing driveway. And just how to do that, I think we should talk a little bit about how to include it. But I think as long as it's in the code somewhere,
yeah,
and we know what the preferences of council is, we can make sure that it's done.
I would think if council wants to make it an overarching policy, that we could develop a resolution that any X permit that comes in that for a property where sidewalks are not currently located shall be required to install sidewalks as a condition of the permit. I think we can do that.
So, okay, so I think that's great. And I think we should do it like now. My question is, at what point, so we have ongoing projects at this moment, right? We know houses that have been torn down. We have houses that are in various stages of being built on those locations.
Mm-hmm.
At what point can council go to that builder / property owner and say, you know, our ordinance requires a sidewalk, you must put it in? Mm-hmm. Or we can only do that prior to the point of issuing them the building permit.
Under this provision,
yeah,
you can do it absolutely whenever you want.
Are you suggesting that they require people that already have stormwater permits that they now have to put in sidewalks?
I'm not suggesting anything. I am advising council that they have the ability to require sidewalks where they feel appropriate.
Why
at their discretion.
To be a problem, though?
Because the property owner already has a permit to do a set job,
right,
an addition, a new house, even put in a retaining wall along their frontage. If you now say, I know you got that permit, but now because you got that permit, we're now going to require you to do sidewalk, maybe they would have rethought the whole project.
It also might impact your stormwater calculations.
Not if it's
oh, in the right of way. You're correct. Sorry.
But perhaps the grading on the property, for sure.
Would there be any legal consequences? Could they appeal that if, for example, a house has already been built, it's not done, but it's been built, torn down, new one's gone up, and we say, hey, you need to put sidewalks in.
Look over there.
They say no and you know, board of grid.
The simple answer on that is anybody can try to take us to court over anything.
Right.
But we have an ordinance that requires it that's been on the books for
a long time.
I don't even know when this ordinance was enacted. So it's been on the books for a long time, and I think council can exercise that discretion.
I think we have two things here. I think the one thing is the ordinance, which I think we should move forward with looking to update so it's more, as Greg said, clear.
Right.
And then the other thing is, what's a bridge too far with the current projects? Like, that's what we need to determine.
Right.
So is it the storm, if they have a stormwater management permit, is that the bridge too far? You know, that's what we need to figure out.
Well, I think
we're hearing that legally there is no bridge too far.
No, it's a policy choice. And I think that to Michelle's point, there's, what is that, what is the threshold where if someone is putting a retaining wall in or something, is that something that council feels is the trigger to require the installation of the sidewalks? Or is it if someone's coming in and taking down the house and putting a new house in, which does not require subdivision, does not require land development, is really just a building permit, grading permit issue, then is that the trigger at that point when we see that come in or they're opening their frontage? So I think council has to feel the kind of, either we can do it on a case-by-case basis or we can set some type of policy by resolution where if this happens, then sidewalks need to be provided under this provision of the ordinance.
How many in progress
right now
bills are with this effect?
There are 4 or 5 right now.
Well, if we count all of the open PICO road opening permits, we have 30 plus. But if we take the PICO road opening permits with installing a new pole,
I think we're only looking at
residential properties.
The houses.
Yeah. No, so there's one distinction.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So how many?
How many houses are currently under construction? Part of the subdivision?
I think there are 5.
You can certainly get that from, I mean, I don't know if you have that offhand, or we can have Michelle or Anna look at it. So
it's because if there's a small number, then before, it might be that while we're trying to determine the bridge too far, we can just look at these one by one.
Does council would need to pass a resolution saying we intend to enforce our ordinance for houses that are currently under construction?
So, or at least a vote, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say if you're doing some type of policy that applies this ordinance to certain circumstances, then I would want to do a resolution so it's clear. If you're looking at this address, this address, this address, and this address right now, we can put that as a vote on an agenda that is sufficient for council to direct.
Well, I think we would know what those are at the moment, right? Because we know which houses are under construction right now.
I think who the we is that knows that, I think, is the question mark here. But we, but the borough does, is aware.
Yeah, well, I mean, I walk around my neighborhood, I can tell you which ones are under construction. Fair. But I don't know about some other areas of town, but the areas without sidewalks that are of greatest concern are in Center and Penn. Most of the time.
7, 8, 9.
Emily,
yeah, please.
So I think it's a very good point that's been brought up. We have a policy about walkability. And so the concept of requiring sidewalks when new construction of a certain volume that comes up is certainly appropriate. Now the question is with respect to a set in the policy and also a look back, right? To me, the only bridge too far would be a certificate of occupancy. At that point, they completed all of their work. They're moving in, and that to me, that personally, that would be a bridge too far. This is something that's going to be painful to some of the developers or property owners who are in the midst of construction, and we need to be recognize that. So with that in mind, I think it's an important policy that we do follow to require sidewalks with significant construction. And I would suggest that we be very consistent about that, but that if a applicant has a hardship or some reason why that would be very difficult to do, I think they should have the opportunity to come in here and explain their situation to us instead of us one by one trying to figure out which one is and is not appropriate for enforcement.
For the in-process stuff.
Not all of them would have a certificate of occupancy, though. We're not talking only about houses or additions.
I think Chris said there was the step too far.
So can you give an example of
a swimming pool would be something they really wouldn't necessarily need a certificate of occupancy for. Quickly, there are 8 road opening permits that are residential that I haven't closed out so far. There are 34 stormwater grading permits that I have not closed out. And there are 39 frontage permits that I have not closed out, which may mean, which could be years, several years making, which could be that somebody has not contacted the borough and said, I don't want my work. A lot of times we normally put on our letters, especially for stormwater permits, that you have to contact the borough engineer's office to notify us when stormwater controls are going in. Sometimes we don't get notified of that.
Okay.
So those are that many open permits that we haven't closed out.
And that, so you're bringing up all kinds of things from the most minor to to the most major. And that presents another quandary for us, right?
Right.
Because just because somebody, wanted to put in a slate curb instead of a concrete curb or something to that extent, does that rise to the level at which we would want to require a sidewalk being installed? And I don't know, it becomes a more challenging discussion at that point. To me, off the bat, any tear down and new construction would be quite obvious. Perhaps an expansion of a certain level would also be quite obvious. I don't know about all of these other applications, and I would be cautious about applying it down to some minute level, which really becomes we want people to improve their properties and their homes, and we don't want to place a standard which is going to dissuade people from doing some of those things. So I don't know where the cutoff is, but certainly I think we could start with the obvious or the most, or when I say obvious, the most clear that's within the policy that we're talking about moving ahead with, and then discuss sort of maybe a second level after that, but getting going with the ones that are clear in our mind.
Tear downs, rebuilds, and additions.
Correct.
And if they need to put a driveway in and they're already in the driveway, and they have to put an apron on, they have to do curbing and sidewalk along with that.
Okay.
Well, so should we...
I have just a quick...
Yeah.
Is construction the only trigger that we can sort of use? I'm just thinking, like, if you sell your property, does the new homeowner, is that a requirement? Could that be, I mean,
it says
as long as
we're
looking for reasons to, I mean, the whole goal is hopefully one day there's sidewalks along the whole road. How are we going to do that if there's existing homes and they're not putting an addition on? And
we can certainly do that. I think that's probably a better regulation for amending an ordinance upon resale or upon change of ownership. If a property does not have sidewalks, must be installed, and or any broken or property or sidewalk in disrepair must be repaired, because that's often something that's missed along the road, and is you have to go after contact an owner to get them to do it, and you know, usually unresponsive process. So I think there are certainly mechanisms there. So this language would let council to direct in any situation to have sidewalks installed. It's just we're getting there's probably a place where we should just formalize it into ordinance in certain applications.
I'd like to go back to Julia. You said new road opening permits where they're putting in a new driveway, and then you said something else after that.
They would have to put in an apron.
Right? Apron.
And then if they have to put, and you would already require the apron, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think our ordinance also talks about them, these things all being one, when we revised the ordinance, that the definition included everything, aprons, curbs,
and sidewalks. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
We had to do all those. And if you recall this discussion that we had, but mm-hmm. this is from 2020, mm-hmm. and we got to the same kind of...
Mm-hmm.
How far to say it? Yep.
Yeah.
What if they're repaving their driveway?
And they don't need to put in an apron because they already have one?
Mm-hmm. Or, right, they're just repaving.
That falls into the category that we were discussing. At what point are we discouraging people from making improvements to their homes and placing an undue burden on them?
But you want them to repave the driveways because it's
yes,
yeah.
And then the apron situation, that does that get taken care of usually when you're doing a major repave of the street, right? When the aprons need to be added, or have we not always added? Is that not always been an item that's been included?
It's not always been an item that's been included unless we're doing need to do a driveway restoration, cut back into the driveway for some reason.
Uh-huh.
If they don't have a concrete apron, then part of the road program, we are not requiring them to put one in.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So moving forward from today, we're going to look at some language for the ordinance. And then in 2 weeks, we'll pass a resolution or vote on a resolution to enforce the current ordinance. Is that what you said?
I guess it's I the direction I would need is to whether we are setting criteria now or a list of properties is going to be provided for consideration that council is going to direct for installation of sidewalks at this time. I think that would be the direction that I would need to draft that ordinance.
Is that information that you want to pull together, Julian?
I could. All right. So we're looking. So the resolution is going to list the property addresses, or a description of the situation.
I would do it. I think it's most clear to do it by parcel numbers that require sidewalk installation upon X frontage or the frontage of X street.
Okay. All right. Requiring sidewalks.
So I have a question in that regard. So if we come up with a list of properties, obviously those are properties that are currently in some state process. There will be additional properties that will be starting process. My question is, will we need to until we pass whatever other ordinance, we would then just continue to have to provide you additional properties? We want to do that, or that's why I'm wondering if we should not. Is that easier, or is it easier to set basic criteria?
I think in all honesty, I think if we're going to look at amending the ordinance, I think it's easier to do a couple piecemeal resolutions to direct certain properties while they're under construction to also install the sidewalks at this time, and then we can. It's not a zoning ordinance. We can enact a non-zoning ordinance fairly quickly and have that in place for future properties. So if it's a month or two of getting individual properties into compliance, then we can get a new policy on the books. That would be my recommendation.
And I guess in addition to that, I should talk to Anna about people who have just applied for permits.
Yeah, that's going to be really tough.
Well, she'll know who puts applications in.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to have people that come to council to talk to you about already having their permit, and now you're going to require them to pay, if it's 50 feet of frontage, about $7,500 extra just to put in sidewalk.
Yep.
And that doesn't include the grading that would be required or a retaining wall that would be required along the slope if they had it.
Even utility relocation.
Or to correct. And they already had a permit to do this work.
And that's why my suggestion was that's our policy.
Right.
If there are hardship issues, if they should be obviously we're going to see people coming in anyway, right? Because they're gonna
mm-hmm.
not like what they're hearing,
and mm-hmm.
so be prepared for that. But also, they should come in if there are reasons that we should reconsider the policy with respect to individual properties that have hardships.
Yeah, that's just going to be tough. While you're doing your ordinance, would it help if council had a policy now, excuse me, that says that any new development that needs any new, not development, any new single family dwelling that comes in for a permit of any sort needs to put in sidewalk. So for we know as a policy.
I don't know if I heard that though.
Single family
council.
Or
sorry,
twin
not
or anything.
Yeah, I think that's the
thing. Any, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't say that correctly. Any new single family dwelling.
Right.
Or twin.
Or twin.
And dwelling. Correct. Any dwelling. Any new dwelling.
Any new
thank
dwelling.
You.
Here we
yes,
go.
Thank
new
you.
Dwelling. New dwelling. Any new dwelling that comes that is.
If any new building containing dwelling units.
That's why Greg's here. Yeah.
But I mean, these are the things, yeah. And that's why my suggestion was if we figure out what this is and have to do a couple stopgaps, it might be a bit easier than in this moment deciding what the limitations of that are.
But if I get a permit tomorrow, I could say, okay, Borough Council decided that you need to put in sidewalk because you have a new dwelling.
Okay. Or we can. It's a notice issue to the property owner. That's the difference. If we do it that way, yes, they're getting notice up front. If we do a monthly resolution until we have the ordinance amended, it might be 30 days before they know they have to put a sidewalk.
Much rather than know ahead of time, rather than make commitments, and if they might not otherwise have had to likely to make.
We need to let Anna to tell them that.
So I think
council is likely going to tell you that you have to put, if there are
one of us will tell.
So why don't I do this as my suggestion to council that we have a resolution about new buildings containing dwelling units are required to put sidewalks in under 480-46, and then Julia will also provide a list of projects already under construction the council would like to direct to have sidewalks installed as part of their. So we'll do catch up. We'll set a interim policy, and then we'll work on amending the ordinance to make it clear to anybody pulling permits in beyond the resolution that certain projects or permits would require sidewalk installation, even when they're not subject to subdivision or land development.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for bringing that up, Julia.
Sure.
All right, Sarah, moving on to the mayor's report.
First on our agenda, we have the application for Newtown Celebrates America's 250th, which will take place on August 8th, and is going to be a lot of fun. Before we move further, I would like to let the council know that the porta potties are going to be on the parking lot at the corner of Mercer and Court. This is a private property, and the Newtown Historic Association already has an agreement with the property owner for the porta potties to be there. in attendance, we have Glenn Blakely, who is a co-chair of the committee, and I think was here a couple of years ago for when the announcement was first made. So he is here to explain anything, answer any questions. I'm wondering, Glenn, would you like to make just a brief sort of summary of the day? Council has the schedule, they have the road plan, they have everything in the application.
Well, I'm not quite sure what you want me to mention here, or just a brief description of what. Oh,
As
okay. Sorry. It's what I had mentioned last time. The event is roughly from 9:30 to 3:30 slash 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Street closures, the battle that's going to take place, kids drills, all that kind of stuff will be taking place from basically the bank to the liquor store to Court Street. That'll all be closed maximum until 12:30. Then everything opens. So I think my close is 12:15. Whatever. It's going to depend on the length of the battle. So, but then in the afternoon, people are directed to about 8-10 sites throughout town, like the firehouse. William Penn will be out here with Penn's Ferry Manor, things like that throughout town. At which point they just start roaming.
And we do have the one road closure there on Court Street at the park from
Sorry.
from Penn to Center, which from 9:30 to 3:30, the application would like to have that close the whole time.
Right, I forgot that. Sorry about that. In the morning, I was just saying that the majority of the roads will only be closed from 9:30 to maximum. But I don't want to waiting that. So that's the description of the day. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful things that are going to be happening for the celebration and for town. Just got word that is it Old Humpy or Old Washy?
Oh, Washington.
Is
Washington.
going to be brought out and demonstrated for the first time.
Really?
And
Yeah.
that's going to be real exciting. And
it's the horse drawn.
It takes eight people to pump that. Can you believe it? Four on each side? It's amazing. But anyway, it's wonderful that the fire company's doing that. And of course, they're going to have their museum open and be there in the afternoon and all that stuff. The Presbyterian, we're extending to the Presbyterian Church. We're going to have the big Hessians there. And not as prisoners, but as talking about what it was like to come to the colonies, to be sent here, sold here to the British to fight, and get a whole different interpretation of what happened there. So there's a lot of things like that that are just going to be a lot of fun. And draw people not only for the morning event, but afternoon people. That's true. I mean, not tons, but there's two different draws that day. So is that a description of the day?
Do we know where the Doan boys hid the gold?
No, but you know they're brought in because the treasury was across the street from the bank that they did rob, obviously. And the bank is a big sponsor of the event, along with Visit Bucks County is a great big sponsor. So we're having the Doan Brothers, that'll only be about 15, 20 minutes. It's not a real exciting one. When the battle's done, they're coming up and they're going to rob the treasury outside the bank so people can see it. That's the end of the morning. Plus, there is an announcer and speakers down there that will be describing to the people attending what they're seeing. So it'll be organized in that fashion. Oh, the DAR, I forgot to mention, is huge.
Yeah, they've got a lot to do. So we'll be the application at for Patriots Park, and then also for a point in the afternoon to have William Penn stationed here in front of council on the porch. And one thing that the committee wasn't sure, and we thought we'd take it to council, is how we feel. And Craig, this is really a question for you also. This is a Saturday about having Borough Hall open for the bathrooms for public use or no. And I know there's times where we've had them open during events, but we also won't have anybody in here. I know that offices will be locked. We'll have William Penn out front. So this is something that council needs to make a decision on what it prefers. The deadline will be before the brochure is published that has the map with all the information trying to like where to go.
So that extension with the bathrooms was built in 1980 something or other, mm-hmm. with the understanding that those were public bathrooms. So I don't know if we have to honor that from a historic point of view, mm-hmm. or
yeah, they're not usually open on Saturday.
Yeah, because I think they used to be at the basement of the Godwin Building, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
That's when the bathrooms.
I don't think we should need to make a decision by honoring something someone said. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And then,
okay. All right. So so that's the application. It'll be on the agenda. Does council have any other questions for Glenn or for me? No? Okay. It'll be on the agenda for a vote in 2 weeks at the council meeting when we do our vote.
Great.
All right. Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Next. We have Movies in the Park application sponsored by the Recreation Board. And that begins June 17th. That's a long one.
It's the movie.
Movie in the Park.
The toughest question we've asked all night.
Yeah, I don't think they've decided yet.
Yeah, I don't think it's been so.
Okay. All right, and then next we have the Newtown Holiday Parade sponsored by the Business Association on Sunday, December 6th.
Is anybody here from the holiday parade?
No, I don't think so.
It's been changed to Washington Avenue.
So my question, Tara, is whoever you spoke to from the Business Association about the application, are they aware of what they're going to have to do with PennDOT?
I think I talked to Jason for this application. Oh, you went back to Historic Association.
No, the holiday parade.
Oh,
they changed the route.
Okay. No, I know. I didn't know they also need to, but she was aware of that, and that'll be taken care of.
Okay, so
I think we need to bring Chief in for that.
So the Business Association, are they aware that they need to do that, or aren't they?
I don't know.
They should be aware. They know for other things, mm-hmm. state highway. They
also
get
for
permits.
State streets also.
Oh, same. Yeah. Okay.
You didn't sign the application about whether you were approved or not.
I wanted to have a conversation with council first.
Oh, yes, let's do.
Council wants itself. It's a substantial change.
Mm-hmm.
The route is a substantial change, and there's, you know, just judging from some of the problems we have on Halloween with State Street, with people walking in the street because the sidewalks aren't wide enough,
mm-hmm.
walk on Washington, rather, could create a problem.
The other thing is from the cemetery to what Liberty, it's all residential. And when people line a parade route, they're standing on people's properties now instead of on State Street where they're standing on sidewalks that are outside businesses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a big change.
Is there a reason for the change that we're aware of?
I don't know. This is
I think a big part of the reason for the change is that they feel as though they've gotten so large. The last year they had a bifurcated, you know, two different places coming together and converging. So we only actually saw half of the parade. I think they want to have the full parade converge at one spot and then march down all together. So that's I believe that's their rationale.
There also may be more space for gathering at the beginning.
As far as for, you know, mustering their people.
The mustering, yeah. It's a bigger property up past the cemetery. So.
And they only have to do one turn.
Yeah.
Chief, I'm missing the point as to the concern that you brought up. Just because I know all about Halloween, right, on Washington Avenue, but if the streets closed for the parade, what's the issue with the sidewalks being there?
Because then you'll have people like walking around on the parade route, you know, as far as, you know, the crowd being in the route where the, you know, the contestants and whatnot, or the participants are coming down the parade. That's why I didn't give my opinion on it, because I wanted council to at least be aware of, you know, consideration that it might be something they might not be all for. Plus, I don't think it has the same character walking down Washington instead of in the business district. But it's just my personal feelings, you know, council may agree.
About closing Washington for Halloween?
No, absolutely not.
So I share your comment about it changes the character of the parade if it's running through a residential area as opposed to being in the commercial area. Kind of associate holiday parades with being going down the downtown because it's, I don't know, just
festive and decorated.
That and not. Washington Avenue is more for the Memorial Day, the stately, that kind of phrase. It's a different feel. So I understand when I saw this map, I thought, oh, okay, well, that makes sense from their point of view in terms of where the staging, like what Josh brought up, that there's much more room up the other end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it'll.
I mean, the residential part doesn't bother me. I mean, I used to live on the first block of Center Avenue, and you know. Market days right there in front of your house every year. Like that the residential aspect doesn't bother me. I think residents would like to see the parade from their front porch.
Right. How would that affect parking along Washington Avenue? Would the cars, would they?
We would have to have no parking along Washington.
So every would all residents would have to move their cars like a snow emergency bar situation.
Does this alleviate the timing issue?
Yeah, they're not asking for anything. They're asking for 12:30 start time. So,
because they said they wanted to combine it, you'd think it would be longer, but the permit's only till 3 o'clock, right?
I think 4:30.
That was part of the motivation since timing of the parade last year was a big issue with the South State area.
And also proximity to the Meeting House, the Quaker Meeting House right next door, where they're mustering. During their quiet this will be completely out into a business lot.
Right.
And we did miss some parts with the bifurcation of the parade as far as some of the local marching bands and everything else. We didn't get to see them the way it was. So but there is a benefit to having the entire parade coming down to where.
I mean, if we didn't have any other parade come down Washington Avenue, I might think about it, but we already have other parades that come down Washington Avenue. So
The memorial then take break from South Center, and as the memorial then crosses, and then
it goes right in front of my house.
Yeah,
and
it's
then
it's
and then they cut over. Yeah. So
I'm with Emily. I'm not particularly bothered by it coming down to Washington. I think that people will may or may not. Find themselves sitting on people's lawns or whatever, but I think that there's probably on that length there's probably generally enough room. There'll be people popping off the curb here and there, but in the streets when it's closed is going to be certainly wide enough. So to me, I'd say it might work just fine, and I wouldn't object to it.
On the narrow sidewalk portions, we could always put up barricades to shield people from walking out into the street on the narrow sidewalks.
Yeah. I would also be concerned about parking public, like where are all the public going to park, because people are going to want to come and see the parade in the town and the borough. And if we've already moved the cars from Washington Avenue, I mean, all of these cars are going to be moved over onto the side streets. So parking is going to really be premium within the borough.
It's an issue wherever the parade route is.
Yeah, but on State Street, there's those are for business, parking for businesses, not residents. So it's not like an immediacy to move those cars around the borough. They just wouldn't be here. Along Washington, all of those residents are then having to ask, where am I going to put my car? And, it's going to be down all the other side streets. So,
In terms of parade safety, I mean, like usually you've got a truck parked here or something. Now there's going to be a lot of intersecting streets. So
we would still have to, we would have to put the hard barricades at the busiest intersections. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what their return route is to get back up?
That I do not.
I think it'll be
You're on right.
I mean, they didn't have one. We didn't know what it was last year or the year before. I mean,
they've always just gone down here.
Yeah.
and they're dispersed. Yeah. A lot of them go shopping right now.
Have you asked the businesses how they feel about it? Businesses on State Street, are they?
No, I mean, if we want to, we can. I guess the question is,
most of them are members of
us, and a lot of them are, yeah, but they may not. I don't know how much they are attuned to this particular committee's decision making.
Some are going to love it, some are going to hate it.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's yeah, some will be unhappy, and then we'll voice that. I guess if you have an applicant coming in, you know, our concern is not like, I mean, yeah, I think downtown is more charming. I think it adds like a nice, lovely backdrop to the photographs. And I think it's a great place for people to be. And it's a part of the whole experience a lot more than you do have on State Street. You also have an applicant before you who's saying, this is what we'd like to do for our event that we do. So I don't know how much the, like what, you know, a survey of the business community. Yeah, and what they want, we don't do that for anybody else.
We just think they should be aware of it, mm-hmm. being that it's been that way for however many years.
At least since the late 90s, if
not. I see Jeff on the call. It'll be in the patch tomorrow. He'll be made aware.
All right, so this will be on the agenda for a vote in 2 weeks.
And we ask that someone representing the NBA be there in case anyone has any questions.
Tara, do you want to reach out to the applicant?
Sure, I can do that.
Do we have some reminders?
And then, because I think one question is, you know, obviously they look, but, you know, in terms of the whole staging, the stocking works, what else is nearby that they could possibly use, you know, how is there a possible way to put it back? You know, that's one of them. But we have to ask them. So, okay. Note that myself. Okay, and then next we have some special event reminders. We have the annual Wine Walk fundraiser sponsored by the Newtown Theater on May 16th from 12 to 4. We have the Memorial Day Parade sponsored by the American Legion, the Morrell Smith Post 440, May 25th from 9 to 11:30 a.m., followed by the annual Vintage Baseball Game sponsored by the Council Rock Newtown Athletic Association at Pickering Field. We have somebody here. Are you here for that?
I'm here if there's any questions.
Any questions? Okay.
On the Vintage Game.
Okay, does anybody have any questions on the Vintage Game?
No.
It's loads of fun if you're considering whether or not to attend. You're very cool. Okay, thank you. All right, and again, Bill, that's a short
one. I have a question. Why didn't you guys ever win? Howard, did you see my email today? No.
No.
The mayor throws out the first pitch, so
I guess it's not evil this afternoon.
Better practice.
I am. Yeah.
Make sure that the organization signs a waiver for him.
Tommy John here. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. And then we also have the announcement for the John Janney Ceremony of Recognition on Monday, May 18th at 11 o'clock. Some of you may have heard about this. So in a quick summary, John, moderately quick, was a devoted pen pal to the servicemen of Newtown during World War II. So he was a caretaker for the Presbyterian Church. But on the evenings and the weekends, he would write letters to the mostly young men stationed across the globe during the war. And he wrote hundreds and hundreds of letters. He also would do things to help out. They might ask him to like look in on somebody or take care of something at home for them. So he really was there for them. He began compiling excerpts from the letters that he received, and he published them in the Newtown Enterprise newspaper under the heading Soldiers' Letters. And so then he started mailing copies of the Enterprise to everybody within whom he was in communication, so they would start seeing what the other soldiers had written, and it was a way for them to keep in touch with each other and feel connected. So about 3 months ago, the Newtown Historic Association with Nancy Webster, who works at the library and the Historic Association, began going through the letters. There's three big fat binders full of them. So she coordinated with Matt Arlen from NetCigar because he has a sort of like weekly news announcement kind of podcast, not quite a podcast, but like along those lines, people tune in and listen. And he started reading the letters. So together they have this project to bring letters to life. And so during his daily broadcast, he would read one letter each day. And what's really cool is people started reaching out. They were the children, the grandchildren of these soldiers, and they didn't know about these letters. So like just after the first, on the fifth one, there was a man from Florida called. It was his father, and he had never known about the letter. And since then, more people have written in. And so this is something just really, really cool they put together, and it's a great connection to somebody who is kind of quiet in our history, but did a lot for the residents. So Nancy has done a lot of hard work for this project. On Monday, May 18th at 11 a.m. at Newtown Cemetery, there will be a personalized ceremony to give John Janney the recognition he deserves. So some of the things you'll see at the ceremony will be the veterans from the Morrell Smith American Legion Post will be escorted from Legion to Newtown Cemetery with a full police escort. Reverend Massengill of the Newtown Presbyterian Church will open the ceremony with a prayer. Elected officials will speak. Family members of the soldiers will share their gratitudes for John's unwavering dedication. Council Rock student Morgan Marshall will recite an original poem written in John's honor. The ceremony will conclude with a letter read by Helen Patton, chairman of the Patton Foundation, expressing thanks for John's service. Service that would have made her grandfather, George S. Patton, immensely proud. So this is a public ceremony. It is open to anyone who wishes to attend, and council members are certainly invited to attend.
Gina, as vice president, will be speaking.
That is correct. So
thank you for that.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cara.
Does anybody have any questions about that? No? All right. Thank you.
All right, Greg, moving on to solicitor's report.
You want to leave before I understand.
It's not you.
Man.
It was her.
Reducing my audience here.
I mean, she's got 4 minutes, technically.
So the first item on the agenda is the 239 Court Street hearing. That's being continued until the June work session. The property owner is still working on getting a sample of the app material for council to review. And so they asked to continue that for another month before we resume that hearing. The second item of discussion on the solicitor's report is the Comcast easement agreement. This is the cable to go under the entrance to the public parking behind the bank. I have reviewed it. I do not have any substantive comments. And so that is prepared and reflective of what we negotiated with Comcast and both compensation and cover my review fees for that easement. So if there's any questions on that, I'm happy to answer them. I'm sure Craig is also happy to answer anything that he's discussed with Comcast on that. Otherwise, it will be on the agenda for approval in 2 weeks.
Is there any language in the agreement about the removal of their wires and great fabulous. Any questions for Greg? All right, Greg, moving on to manager's report.
2026 garden tours.
What are you looking at for?
Question.
Tell us about it.
Yes.
Oh, it is okay. All right.
You know why that's under
yes for you.
And Gina, you know
it. Yeah, it's a statewide garden tour, and Newtown Borough has a number of gardens on the tour, and I think that the local organization also has a couple, like one in Bristol and somewhere else.
Okay.
And so I think in a couple of weeks, Mary Jo and Kina, who are on the garden committee for the Historic Association, are just going to come in and just give a little talk.
Okay.
They're
going
to come to the meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a presentation. It's a presentation about this particular garden tour. Yeah. Okay.
So we can put it at the front of the agenda since it's a presentation for next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. That way you don't have to say 2026 garden
tours. So one more, just the next meeting or the following June?
May.
No, it should be May because it's in the beginning of June, I think. The
20th.
It's
at
the end.
Thanks. You did sidewalks and EV. Well, that's also.
That's me again.
Yes.
Okay.
This will go.
All right. So I posted on ShareFile a revision of the EV charging ordinance. You will notice that I took out all references to private EV charging in the right of way. And the reason I did this was because there are still outstanding problems that we haven't addressed in terms of whether the borough's insurance would permit and whether PennDOT would permit in their right of way.
Mm-hmm.
But by taking them out, it will allow us to consider an ordinance which will then require new development to provide EV charging stations for residents or in commercial parking lots. And so that's outlined. I made a couple changes based on some feedback I received there was concern, like, why are we making single family homes provide this, new single family homes? And so what I did was, this is rewritten now, instead of requiring that construction of new single family or twin homes would have to provide the charging station, it has been changed now to say that if on-site electric vehicle charging is being considered for the new construction in those types of dwellings, that it shall include at a minimum one make-ready EV charging station location per dwelling, make-ready being that it's wired but not equipped, it's not an active charger. But that had to, if there was a garage, that had to be within the garage. If they weren't providing a garage, it needed to be located adjacent to a driveway or a parking space on that property. So that's how I changed that. I also reduced requirements for the number of charging units that would or be required, not charging units, but charging stations that would be required for residential properties. Originally, I had said one for each dwelling unit and realizing afterwards that was probably excessive. So changed it to one per two dwelling units, so that would be for half. And again, of that, so let's say you have, let's just pick a development that might have 100 dwelling units in it. Probably would come up with that one, but if you had 100 dwelling units, it would mean that there would need to be 50 locations for EV charging stations provided. But of that, only 25% would have to be already installed and operational, and the remainder then would be make ready that they at a future date could be upgraded to be active. So I did that.
I have a question.
Yes, sure.
The removal of all of the stuff for the right of way, I mean, is there a reason why we can't wait to get that information? Are you wanting to move this ordinance ahead without it?
Yes. So I believe that we should move this ordinance ahead without it, given the likelihood that there will be construction for which we would like to have this ordinance in place for. That's the first. The second is that, and then Greg can correct me if I'm wrong, if someone wanted to put a private charging unit in the right of way, we already have multiple ordinances that would cover that. So we already would have the requirement, let's say it's in a borough right of way, the requirement that the borough approve the pillar. And in order to do that, we would have to approve what it is they're putting in. And in order to do that, if there's some kind of electric connections and so on, that's going to require electrical permit and approval by our our code enforcement department, if it's in the right of way of PennDOT, PennDOT would also have to approve it, whatever requirements and permits they have are already, they would have to go through that process. So those processes are already covered and could be considered on a, they would be considered on an individual basis. So if you couldn't put in, if you couldn't meet the requirements that those various ordinances or existing regulations and ordinances require, then you couldn't do it. If you could, then you could go ahead.
So you're not looking to pass this ordinance and then possibly amend it once we have that information. Okay, you're saying sure. that, right, but what you're saying is that's not necessary because it's already covered elsewhere.
Well, it kind of goes both ways. I think we can we should consider passing this ordinance. We, if we can resolve the other issues later and want to put that in its own ordinance format, we can certainly amend the ordinance with this at that time. If it is comes, if it's the determination of our solicitor, et cetera, that we've already covered given our other ordinances and that's unnecessary, then we would not need to go that way. But I think it's important to get this information out.
Well, I'm not going to go into detail, but I would agree with you, except for the fact that we have a current situation that applies directly to the stuff you removed that we need answers for. And I would rather wait and have a more comprehensive ordinance that includes that because it is a current situation.
Well, there's nothing that can't continue concurrently. I don't know. Did he find this information?
We're not going to get into that. We're not going to get into
detail.
Get into
no,
it,
we can't get into it. What I'm saying is that
I would agree with you in theory. Except
right.
That's a current problem we have that we need to solve.
And it's my understanding the current situation is not waiting for an ordinance to be passed.
I think it cuts, to answer the question, I think it cuts both ways. I think that there are, I mean, we, the current situation brought to council think that there is a mechanism or a series of mechanisms that we have to approve EV chargers in the right of way. It's not exactly linear, I guess I will say. It's a process, but I also think that whether it's part of this ordinance or an eventual ordinance, it's to council's benefit that if they anticipate a demand or a desire to approve installations of private EV chargers within the right of way, to have a unified process that provides consistency of approval would be in council's best benefit. So there is no perception, and I don't think there would be ever be intent, but no perception that there is any selective approval of those individual applications for pillar agreements or the associated permits that go along with it. So I think there is a if council wants to do a bifurcated process, we do have current processes that would allow council to consider installation of those chargers. But I would recommend as your solicitor that eventually, if it's something that council is desirous of, to have an ordinance that covers the private installation in a comprehensive way.
So at the point of where we are right now, and the work that's been done to this point, is that all of that stuff can go right back in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's very easy to add right back in. It's just, you know, put the language back in that was in before. The concern that I have at this point, if I were to do that and we move forward at this point, we still don't have the understanding whether it could even happen. You follow what I'm saying?
I do, yes.
Yeah. So the point, then the question becomes, and it's entirely up to council, does council want to go ahead and consider what we know we can pass and authorize at this point? And in the meantime, continue to work on the amendment and come back and amend it when we have the ability to do that? Or do you just want to let this lie?
Well, why not add the right of way and pillar agreement stuff into it and say contingent upon approval by regulated agencies or something like that? So it's sort of like, it's not saying you have blank permission to do this, but you need to get the proper permits and so forth. Because we may not know right now, but at least it would answer it in an urgent way to
sort of give the choice ahead.
Because I can't, what I hear from Greg is it's nice to have sort of like a uniformity about it and sort of like a plan going in instead of trying to figure it out as we go.
Well, of course,
down the road. Yeah. And it may not be an option. Yeah. And if it's not an option, then I mean, it's just there and it's not an option.
I think anything will be contingent upon outside agency approval, having
right.
jurisdiction. I think based on our last conversation about the private chargers in the right of way, I don't know if there was clear consensus from council as to what exactly that needed to entail. So from a solicitor's perspective in getting an ordinance in final form for your adoption, I think that we are further on that topic than we are on the development topic. And if I may, I think this kind of is somewhat parallel to our sidewalk conversation,
mm-hmm.
Where council has to determine if they want to address, as Joy said, immediate development issues, or wait and do it in a two-step process, or wait and do it in a comprehensive later on. I don't think there's that's a your choice type of
with
thing.
With respect to this issue of EV chargers and new development, if the concern is Liberty Center, or which is the only one of scale right now, right? That's going to need its own zoning changes if it's going to proceed in any form, because right now, those things are being discussed, right? So whatever happens there is going to require some level of zoning change. I can't imagine, I can imagine that zoning ordinance could include an EV provision that would not be, that would be appropriate for that zone for development of a certain size. So my suggestion is that, because that's going to end up going into a, in my mind, a bundle with whatever else has to be worked out with Liberty Place.
I think Liberty Center is an example, but I think in recent recollection of the developments we've had of, let's say, Court and State or 110 North, mm-hmm. North State, whatever the Patriots Place, is that what that was
yeah.
kind of called?
Yeah.
called? Or, and there's one more that I wanted to bring up, and now it's the address is eluding me. Those would be subject to these requirements as well for that 2-to-1 charger requirement. So if you're looking at new development as opposed to established houses that want to add this feature, I think there are two different policy considerations as to anything new is going to have this versus the ability for established properties to add it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't only frame it in the context of the Liberty Center proposal, because that is a much larger conversation. I would think whether council wants to see any new development in this as the A issue, if council wants to see any new development have the EV requirements, and then the B issue is what does council want to provide as a process for existing properties to add this? And they can be done as an AB ordinance or an A ordinance and a B ordinance.
My preference would be to make this as comprehensible as possible, and that means waiting for the information we need about right away.
Because I think there's the issues on the right away. The PICO and all that. The main issue is what it looks like in the right of way.
Mm-hmm.
And if we pass this, what leeway is he going to, is any, someone going to get who wants to put a charger in the right of way? We've kind of lost perspective on what that can look like,
right.
And what that can be to make it uniform throughout the borough. And if it's not in there, I mean, you're saying that they have to comply with all of the permits and the this and the that, and we can deny them based on something that we need to regulate,
mm-hmm.
I think. Mm-hmm. Like, we would deny, I think, what they're trying to do because we want to keep something uniform in the borough. And we can deny it because this ordinance says we can. I think we should address what we want it to look like from the get-go. And have it in the ordinance, because this is kind of how this all came to be. And new construction, yes, definitely.
And we already determined
that
they should go
that.
To HARP, so we need to be the ones to
right.
regulate in
right.
this what it
is
should look like.
Going
to
be a thing.
We hope
right.
it's a thing.
Well,
yeah,
know,
and I guess
like parks.
Two things that inspired writing this. One of them being that definitely want, or you definitely, I feel that new construction needs to, and in this town, I don't think this is going to be a problem, because if you're reading descriptions of houses that are for sale, they're touting that they have EV chargers, right? So it's a selling point, right? And I agree with the comments that were made the last time about, well, we can't really make a builder do it for a single family home. Right, because they're going to do it anyway, because that's what the people buying the home are going to say. It's like, where am I going to charge my car? But you can say you need to put it in the garage, you need to put it on your property next to the park, in a parking space or something like that. Then again, the issue with townhouses and, you know, multifamily developments, so however big they are, these are not generally going to be people who are going to have the garage. So we want to make sure that there is something so that we're not coming, they're not coming to us and saying, well, I couldn't do it because it isn't here. Now the issue with individuals wanting to have a private charger in the right of way, which may or may not get resolved, the easy solution might be for the borough to install chargers in our municipal lots and have some way for discounted rates for residents to be able to charge their vehicles if they don't have that access on their property. The question is, do we want to hold up the regulations for new construction and how much we want and putting those chargers in to get that final answer on that other piece? Or do you want to sit on this and wait till you get the other piece, put the whole thing together?
I mean, I don't think it's just the waiting for that information. I think, you know, Gail's concern is valid and also needs to be addressed. I don't think that, personally, I can't vote for this in its current form.
Because
I would like it to be more comprehensive and include everything.
Okay.
Just not only for timeline purposes, but the cost of advertising and then re-advertising. I mean, I would rather wait.
Okay. And we have to decide what we want to do with the right-of-way. What do we want it to look like? What do we want to do?
Okay. All right, well, that's fine.
And that's not, I'm not saying that's you by any stretch.
Yeah, I'm not saying either way. I'm just saying
the words figure out what this is going to look like.
Around
you want posts with 25-foot cables on the right-of-way,
right
down Washington Avenue or any major street.
Right.
I don't think
I'm just going to reiterate my position. We are so far ahead of the curve on this. It's not a piece that's ripe for adoption in the borough of Newtown. It's extremely rare, I mean, beyond rare, anywhere, right? And here we are in a tiny little intimate borough that has its own unique issues with respect to parking, neighbors needing to work together to get their on-street parking done, the way the streets look, safety on the streets. I think that we are advancing this. I commend Julia again on the thought process and on the work that she's put in, but I don't see it even close to being ripe for adoption in this borough.
Are you just referring to the right of way
portion
of it?
Right of way.
Because I think everything else is pretty right.
On the other, I think we have to consider some technical issues.
So you're saying for the right of way?
No, I'm done with the right of way. Yeah.
Yeah,
way ahead of the curve. Right?
Okay, but what are we going to do about people who want to put it into right away? Just let it go.
To me, they can't.
Gotcha. Okay.
Would you put that in the ordinance and say no installations in the right of way? Would you add that to the ordinance?
I'm not sure that there's a reason to do that.
Well, if it's not prohibited, then it's allowed.
We don't. It hasn't come up except for it was one legal matter. But otherwise, it hasn't come up. I'm not gonna. I don't see a need to adopt ordinances before that there's a reason to. As you said, there's an entire lengthy process that gives us the ability to consider any number of factors and issues related to that installation. So I'm not the least bit concerned about the urgency of prohibiting it. At this time, but I don't see an avenue to adopt a policy to allow it at this time at all.
Okay. So how do you feel about the ordinance without the right way being?
I'm interested in that, but I want to point out that there's concerns there, which are that EV chargers use electricity, which costs money. Right. So in a multi-family situation, when you put an EV, a certain number of, first of all, two half the space is going to just the power availability of the community be required to that many stations if used at once is significant. So we have to think about the ultimate cost and also the use in a multifamily situation where spaces are not necessarily assigned. It could work, but usually these are going to want to be undercover. Usually they're going to want to be in a specific location as opposed to spread all over the place. And so the issue of how many and how we would require that in a way that's practical should be thought through. I'm not against it, I'm for it, but we need to think about the appropriate level at which we would want it to occur. With respect to private homes, I'm also interested for new homes, I'm also interested in doing that. I think that may be the easiest to get through.
Well, technically, in homes, private homes, you don't need an ordinance. You have permits.
Well, we don't need it. So if we want to encourage their availability, I think Julie is suggesting
that. But for private homes, we're already covered. We have.
Oh yeah, the availability.
Yeah.
So
you have the ability of the regulation.
Yeah, so I'd be willing to move forward with an ordinance that addresses the requirement for new development, but I'm not sure that the quantity that's proposed is appropriate.
I appreciate that you have some questions. I've asked several months in a row for people to send me their comments, so feel free.
There you are.
Sure. No, but numbers. No, I mean, it's like I don't think, you know, one for two. I mean, I just did that number when I looked at a lot of different ordinances from a lot of different states and kind of said, all right, what is the requirement?
Yeah, and what meter are they being fed from?
These questions, and they could be level ones and have to be level twos. Yeah. And well, but the point is that if that's the area that you have concern about and you want to make a recommendation, then please send it on.
Fair enough.
Okay. And as far as moving this forward in one way or another, it's entirely up to council.
I mean, I'm feeling like the general consensus is not at this point moving this form forward unless changes are made to it.
I'm a proponent of figuring out what to do with it right away. I think that's
important. I am too, as well as your point about what it looks like.
Okay. Well, I will. It's on the computer, could be fixed at any time. So,
are you ready to talk about it? We need to add it right back to the agenda.
Sure. No problem.
All right, thank you, Julia. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on.
Okay, snow plowing contract. I have worked over the last probably, and with some help from the mayor, doing some investigation background looking about this past winter. And I have come up with a draft, which bid specifications, which I put on the drive just yesterday, but I'd ask for people to take a look at them. They're pretty close to what I think would recommend to be a final form, but there is still more adjustments that I'm working with the solicitor. I think, you know, this is just a matter of best practices right now. We just approve hourly rates every year for the current contractor, but we should put this out to test to have a competitive bid, and I think that's a good best practice to do every couple of years.
And the current contractor is welcome to bid?
Yeah, and so less about performance and more about just testing financially that that's a responsible thing to do.
I don't mind saying, to be clear, we have spent way, way more money than neighboring municipalities that have almost equal road length by like $21,000 a mile more. So this is purely a financial decision. It needs to be.
So look for that to have a final draft, hopefully with sufficient time before the next meeting. for adopting again to put it out for bid. We'll probably be out for 3 or 4 weeks, so it could be a continual cycle that we have some results.
Okay. Do we need to vote in May to put, or in 2 weeks to put this out?
If prepared, we'll authorize putting it out. Yes.
Oh, I have a question. I noticed that there was nothing in there about a non-discrimination clause requirement. Should that be in there?
It can certainly be added. They have to comply with the borough's ordinances anyway, but we can add that in specifically.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have a borough ordinance that says specifically about.
All right, we'll make sure it's in there.
Okay. So recall that the Chancellor Center will be under renovations beginning possibly as early as November, but most likely for the better part, if not all of 2027. I have worked with, and I think that as a council, as a group, we have decided that we would just have both meetings in this room unless there is reason to have a larger space. The sewer authority is agreeable. They have looked at and generally agree with the terms of a draft use agreement of some sort that I put together. So if council is okay with that draft that I've shared with you, so any changes, let me know. I will officially share it with them, make sure that they're on board and it would be ready at the next meeting to enter that use agreement. Or the following meeting, depending on their meeting cycle, to approve it as well. The main things that they flagged on this was that they have limited parking and that they need we'd have to pay a staff person to open and close their building. I think they're the main items.
Okay. I had two comments. Mm-hmm. The first was I thought that giving them 21 days advance notice was too long because we're likely to have meetings that are coming up and we know that they're going to be heavily attended. Mm-hmm. And I would say 10 days. I would
it's
say
in 10 between days. Meetings if something comes up at a work session.
Right. Yeah. You need to know that we could have it at the regular meeting there, and then there may be a planning commission meeting from time to time or whatever, or our. We may need to activate the fourth Thursday meeting. So we need that, and that might be a big one. So if we could get 10 days notice, and obviously if they're not available, they're not available, right? My other was under technology and network security. So are you saying that they are wired for internet, they have remote attendance at their meetings? Is there any way that we could sign in on our Zoom account and Zoom those meetings?
I can. Check on that detail. Check that. I don't know the answer.
Okay. Just one tangential thing. We found out from the Chancellor Center recently that we can't have our September and October meetings there this year.
Oh, really?
So they're going to be here.
So this is August will be our last Chancellor meeting then?
I don't think they said no to November and December yet, have they? I don't think they know when.
Not officially.
So it could be August.
Okay. All right, I'll look into those two things and see if I can get a clarity and revision up for the next. Okay. So pedestrian planning proposals, this has been talked about the last couple of meetings. We did put it out for RFP. We got great response, 8 RFPs. I work with Gina a lot to evaluate and create a short list that she and I interview our own engineering, Arrow, also known as CKS Engineering, and Studio 9. It was both great learning in both of the hours that we worked with them to interview them last Thursday. And I think Gina and I are both on the same page per my memo that went out this week about selecting Arrow, recommending to select Arrow to award that contract. I think a lot of people really just because they're used to doing a pedestrian plan on MOOP, we're, you know, Arrow, I think, was on board understanding that we have a lot of that, that this is more about creating a manual, a work plan for the many opportunities on pedestrian improvements that we already have sort of listed. They will open up for new ideas when it comes to things like Liberty Centers, how that would change the circulation and the pedestrian dynamics in the borough. So there is still a window in that way for looking at new connections. If you want to add, Gene, that's...
Yeah, like Craig said, we had a lot of really good responses, and the company that we didn't choose was great, but they were very sort of visionary and had, you know, ideas about all kinds of new things, where we were looking to condense the work that we'd already done into a workable process so that we can prioritize and fill in any gaps of what might be missing. But the Arrow, I mean, they just really understood right away. With Michelle already being on board with us, it just was sort of, it gave them a leg up already. So it just seemed to make good sense.
Great. So we'll vote on that in next meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you both for your hard work on it. And I think the last one is me.
Yes, and myself as well, I think. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, at our last work session, we created a subcommittee to work with the developers of Liberty Center, which was Julia, Gail, and Chris. And we're just going to switch things up, and it's going to be Gina, Julia, and Gail. So just wanted to make that known in case anyone had any questions for whoever was on the subcommittee.
Sure. And those meetings have gone very well. They've been very productive. Mm-hmm. In looking at the proposed plans and the proposed zoning overlay, a lot of good ideas, I feel like, and the committee agrees that we would, that the process would benefit from having a professional planner on board to assist with facilitating those conversations. So if council is agreeable, what we could do is I could bring back to the next meeting a roster of a select couple of planners, people that do that kind of work, that have staff that can, because it's almost like, you know, you move one piece and it changes over here and that changes over here. And I think that's a lot for everyone to do in a working group like that. So this will probably, you know, add a weeks to month or two to the process, but I think it would be a valuable thing to do. So that work for everyone?
That's what you guys want. Mm-hmm. We're doing the work, so.
So process-wise, we can talk about how to make a selection, but I'll at least be able to identify some firms in the next week or two. I don't know if anyone from the committee wants to add anything to that, but I think that the discussions are going to
be awesome. I mean, if you want, you can send, you know, your thoughts, what you find to the committee, and then you guys can narrow it down for the rest of us. I don't know how big of a pool you're going to pull from, but...
2 to 3, probably.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's
fine. Yeah. I got a recommendation, too. I'll send out to you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I want to add one other thing, just to comment on what is, there's a lot of one call markings out there, particularly on Washington Avenue and State Street. And I just want to, just for the general public and for council's update on that, the project it has to do with the data center. I believe the one in Falls Township,
Chris should leave.
Is, yeah, I think that's a note. And it's one of many that go up and down the East Coast. There are these, it's like they're putting in underground I-95s of fiber. And the project here in the borough will come west on Washington Avenue, beginning in a week or two, down by the bypass, and it will be under the north side sidewalk and go all the way down to State Street. And this has received a PennDOT permit, and there are, while it is boring underground, they will have to use what's called a vacuum digging. So everywhere that there is a lateral, be it water, gas, or sewer going into a property, they will, in the lawn area of these properties, vacuum out a hole so that they can see that lateral and then say, okay, bring the drill through and drill, and they will eyeball this so that it doesn't hit. That's their method.
Yeah, correct. So is everybody out in Washington going on the north side going to have the yard drilled?
Yes.
Yes.
And do have you they all been informed?
Private property.
It is in the PennDOT right
of the right way.
So
which how far in the middle of the road? 15.
There's not much right away on that side of the street.
Well, no, it's actually in the middle of your front yard, Chris. That's where it is. The right
so
away.
It will be a shot.
It will probably be as close as they
is,
can.
Yeah. Is there anything we can do to stop this?
So I'm not fit. Let me just finish with this.
There's more.
But you get the idea. You get the idea.
Yes,
and then
extremely invasive.
Every 200 feet, they have to dig a coffin-size access.
Can you pick the
end word? That's what they use. So they go past the grave. And that is every 200 feet. And I guess they make a connect. Or if they have to do a 90-degree, which they will have to do at Washington and State
Street. So where do they do this digging? In the sidewalk?
Oh,
or on the street or on the lawn?
On the lawn.
And this is
just outside the sidewalk. They may have to, if there's not the right of way, to do it on the lawn. They may be stuck on the sidewalk, but they're going to be on the other side of the curb, definitely.
A for-profit company. This is not for because it's not a utility.
No, so
right. So that's the general idea.
Amazon's not doing it. It's
white pack, but
it's, no, they
people can buy stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
So
there's several layers, but Amazon.
So that's my question.
So then they come to State Street and they're going to turn left and go down the west side of State Street under the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
That portion of the project is not yet fully permitted.
On the west side, you said?
On the west side of State Street.
Well, make them repave all of State Street.
So, are you saying
but that under the sidewalk is
so
still
the... So they're going to have to do the holes in the sidewalk?
We're
going
to do test to locate the crossing ability.
Yes.
Then they're going to... dig hole. They're gonna. This is like a lateral drilling. This is a
mm-hmm.
jack and board.
Board.
They're not necessarily digging up the whole sidewalk. They're digging up enough so that they can get to the next hole, and then they're drilling under the sidewalk or
to every 200 feet. They have to do a bigger, large box size.
They're drilling by 200 feet from one hole to the next hole,
and in between those 200 feet,
yeah.
wherever there's a lateral. They will open up a hole so they can see that.
Yeah.
How wide is the boring hole?
Oh gosh, I don't know, but I'm guessing it's this big.
Okay, so it's not like a little.
No.
Okay, back to my question.
Stop.
What can we do to stop it?
So the portion, I don't know that there's anything to do. There is a Monday we met in the field with the construction folks. So I have some contact information, and I'm advocating to get info flyers for residents who don't know any of this at this point, other than seeing all of the paint on the streets. And then at that block of State, Washington to Center, and then they go down Center and carry on past the creek. They do, for whatever reason.
There is a state road across the bridge,
right the other way.
For
but not in the borough.
Yeah, but the state to Sycamore is Sycamore.
But we said they were going to Washington to Senate.
Washington to state.
Oh, state. State. Yeah. I thought you said
Senate. Yeah. Before we get into your how to stop the discussion, which I can't take part in, can we get them in like we did with the gas line to explain what's going on? So again, they have more detail than you do. We don't want to be the bearers of the bad news, and we want to be able to ask, as the public will want to be able to ask, the specific questions about exactly what's going on, where it's happening, and when it's going on.
Yeah, and I think it's a PennDOT permit, and I think that I am working with, been in touch with Representative Warren's office, and they've been in the loop on this, but I think it I'm advocating for those kinds of things. See if
what we say,
info
we,
center.
What kind of legal recourse?
PennDOT.
So
I mean, the one that
the water company, the sewer, everyone is also on board that this is a very problematic, and it's going to be difficult to navigate as you get closer to State Street. The frontages are far more restricted to be able to be doing any kind of this invasive work. So.
So the only
upside of it, if it does go smooth and if it does go, it happens pretty quickly. So they're kind of in and out in not that long of a time. So anyway, I just want to give folks a head up. If you are a property owner in particular, public, reach out to me and I can give you answer questions and reach out.
That's great. How can we get them here?
Okay, so I asked Greg, what kind of legal recourse do we have here?
So this is the first time I haven't seen the permit or anything involving this yet. So I'll work with Craig to take a look at what there is so we can look at it. It depends how it's issued. It sounds as though it's all within PennDOT right of way, so it may be limited, but we can take a look at what if there is any recourse. Depending on how it's purposed.
And so generally, one call marking has to be done within a certain number of days of when you're doing the work.
Right.
And all this marking has been done. Does that mean that the work is imminent, like within 2 weeks?
Sometimes they do it also for planning purposes.
Yeah, but there's a lot.
The timing I know of so far is that starting somewhere down by the bypass and coming west will begin. May 17th, 18th, something like that.
Next week.
So that's by the time they get to the boroughs, another 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, the
residents. Is this the same thing that's happening in Langhorne for the little orange cabling that's going into set?
Oh, yeah. Right? They talked about
that. That's the same thing that's going on over there.
Yeah. Okay. So. More to come on that. I just want to give everyone as much info and heads up as we know right now. But that may obviously create questions. Especially if you're a property owner, reach out.
And Craig, do you know what the light path is for? Like, is it to increase people's speed on using Amazon? Or are they moving into like AI?
So we're talking about Amazon. It's not Amazon, the storefront that you go and buy random goods from. It's Amazon Web Services, which hosts data for everything on the internet.
Yeah.
So it's a giant box full of computers that are just processing information. So this is cabling. I might be oversimplifying this, but it's cabling to send that information to and from the brain trust that is the data center.
Okay.
But it's for almost anything on the internet. Right. A lot of tech, a lot of data, websites, businesses with their own information in-house, how they store data, will employ space from Amazon Web Services to host their information and run their data processing. So it's by saying Amazon, it's not Amazon.com. It's a greater organization.
People are building anywhere from 200,000 to 1 million square feet. And there's 11 of them. So that's a lot of space. And there's nothing in the buildings, basically. There's a little office space, and then there's computers and cooling systems. But that's all there is. So that's an immense amount of computing power, which means they're drawing and sending an immense amount of data. And so they need a new gig wires
fiber optic
capacity. The last time this happened, BIOS came through, but you guys are like, choose if you want to come figure out.
This?
Yeah.
These are like this.
How about down? And why State Street?
I think for sounds as though they're going to be relatively to most of the other laterals above them.
To answer your question, Tara, I think why State Street is because it's a state road, and probably we're limited.
They can bypass the municipalities.
Most likely, we'll look into it, but most likely they can get their state approvals and.
Oh.
And are they very coordinated people about when they're going to do the pavement on State Street after they dig all their holes?
It sounds like they're on the sidewalk.
They're not.
Oh, are they going to be required to replace sidewalks?
They will
replace the sidewalk. Oh, at State and Washington, they're going to have to cross the street, right?
So what we did with
just underneath
last winter, there were a number of people on council, Craig, who reached out to Perry Warren, who reached out to Steve Sanciero, Craig reached out to PennDOT, right? And through that process, we were able to get them here, right, at Chancellor Center to give the public a thorough presentation. I think we should do the same thing here. I don't feel like I'm in a position to make any of those calls, but I think you guys should.
I mean, we can try. I
don't think we'd have to hurry.
Yeah, I mean, they're starting next week. So, I mean.
So they're going to, the part that comes to State Street, that is under.
I think there's two different paths to take here.
There's knowledge. If nothing else, we get in.
I think there's two concurrent paths here. One is Greg looking into any legal action we can take. Two is trying to push it back and get some people here to give us information.
Yep.
We can do both of those things at the same time, and we should.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. Moving on to my report, I just wanted to give an update that.
It doesn't mean I'm going to get every bias on my opinion.
You will be able to show up for it.
We have come to an agreement of general terms with the Newtown Fire Association for an extended lease of the police station. They voted on those terms at their membership meeting last month, and we will vote on them in 2 weeks. These are just the general terms, rent, length, and then once that happens, once that's set in stone, Greg will draft an agreement where we'll start getting into the nitty-gritty of the terms.
The motion would be to approve the general terms and authorize my office to draft and negotiate the rest of the terms of the agreement. And this agreement would start January 1st, 2027.
Right. Okay, that's it for me. Gail?
Ted is here. He put together a ordinance for bamboo in the borough, and I'll do it quick and then you can elaborate on everything. We're going to prohibit bamboo within 40 feet of the right of way, 10 feet of the property line. You can have it in containers. You can have it in the ground if you have the right material defined in this ordinance that goes down 30 inches. Above 6 inches, all the numbers are obviously defined in here, that will limit the growth of the bamboo to adjoining properties. And it's basically just an ordinance defining bamboo, defining what it is, defining what the property owner is, what the bamboo owner is. If it migrates to your neighbor's yard, you're responsible. And it's to prohibit the bamboo from getting everywhere in the borough.
Is this an issue? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, some places, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
a big issue.
I know.
Every municipality should have a bamboo ordinance because it's pervasive, invasive, and incredibly expensive to remove incredibly expensive to remove. I guess I have one question, if I can. I know I'm jumping council here on her comments. I haven't been authorized to review this yet, so I didn't want to spend the time doing that yet until council directs me to. But based on your summary, it seems to allow bamboo at all in certain situations that isn't currently existing in the borough. And I'm wondering why, because I think allowing any new bamboo to be planted may be
it's not true.
Oh, well, that's why I'm asking for clarification.
Correct. There's no new bamboo. So if the bamboo, and Ted, you want to explain it, if the bamboo exists right now and you contain it, well, you can't really do that because, let me rephrase this. So you're saying that new bamboo would be if you put it in a pot in your front yard.
In a pot, I guess, would be fine, but from being planted anywhere in the ground, even with the barriers.
The exception that you can put it in the ground if it's contained, that assumes that it's already there.
You're saying put it in the ground, that is not true.
In the ground. I'll read it to you.
It bans bamboo prohibits it from being planted, transplanted, and relocated in any situation, okay? Then you have the question of how do you deal with the existing stands within private property? The ordinance called for a barrier to be placed around the root systems with certain requirements and certain materials. I'd just like to say that there are ordinances, I went through at least 8 or 9, that don't have barriers. I chose the barrier technique method for this ordinance. The ordinances that don't have barriers around root systems, in those municipalities, you have to wait until it encroaches within the restricted zone, say 800, 750 square feet. And then you notify the property owner of the violation that has to be cut back. So that looked like to me just an endless cycle of craziness. So I didn't get involved with that when I put the barrier method in here. Okay, so there's no new planning at all. With the barrier method, with the ordinances that I went through, there were two ways of dealing with that. One, I'd say it might have been a 50-50. You also require a permit. You have an invasive species growing on your property. You have to contain it with the barrier system, and you need a permit. There were a number of ordinances that didn't require the permit. I'm saying this to Borough Council because you may want to consider whether you want the permit or no permit. Okay? I do have more.
Can I ask a question, though? So if you're putting a barrier in, you're assuming that it's already on your property and you're going to contain it, you're going to put the barrier. You put this down 30 inches, I think is the number here.
30 inches, wow.
Because you're saying you're making it sound like that's a lot.
Because it's needed, though.
Well, no, I believe not.
Because I'm thinking that it goes even lower than that, because that's how it creeps into your neighbor's yard. Is that deep enough to stop it from encroaching outside the barrier?
Well, it should be.
Okay. So does that answer the question?
It does.
Yeah. So no, you cannot plant new stuff. And if you take it out, you can't replant it somewhere else. I'm pretty sure that's it.
That's correct. No transplanting, replanting.
Right.
Nothing. It's banned. Prohibited.
So the only expand through its root system, in other words, can it also expand like with seeds or whatever that tend to fall or just actively growing underground?
The root system is enough. I don't know whether you're aware, bamboo can grow a meter a day. That's up to 40 inches a day, both the top and the bottom in under good conditions. So that is, and it's in that, that's why in 2014, DCNR declared it an invasive species. And the municipalities all over the state and county went about creating these ordinances to protect natural areas, public and private property. I understand what you're saying, but that's not it.
No, I'm just saying it, even if you've contained it, which I'm for, right? Can it pop the barrier with seeds or some other way of, no, it just, it has to be transplanted.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of questions. One is that all species of bamboo?
Sydney Ward.
Okay. I'll tell you.
And two, you mentioned that we're making it people responsible for taking the bamboo out of their neighbor's property. Is that, that sounds like a little difficult. How
most bamboo ordinances are written that way.
Okay.
Because it has to originate somewhere. That's the thing. It's not like an oak tree where a squirrel can bury it in your yard and then all of a sudden you're responsible. This has to spread from a known spot.
The bamboo that exists that has been contaminated crossing has to be 10 feet from the property. So they've already the ordinance has already been violated because it's gone that 10 feet and then into a property line. But the ordinance also calls for that other property owner has to notify the bamboo owner of the situation.
Okay.
So what council needs to decide tonight is if we want to direct.
I do have a couple of things I'd like to go over, please.
Yeah, sure. I just want to finish my thought. So what we need to decide tonight is whether or not we want to move forward with an ordinance for bamboo, which, you know, if everyone has one, it's probably, and then just direct Greg to start looking at this, review this ordinance. Please, go ahead.
There were, as I said, to consider a permit, no permit, but one other thing that varied throughout all the ordinances that I reviewed was the timeline from the notification of violation to compliance. Initially in this ordinance, I had 15 days. Last ordinance I went through was Swampwood Borough's ordinance. They had 120 days. And I looked at the 15 days, I said, well, that's far too draconian, unnecessarily draconian. And I liked the 120 days better for a number of reasons. One, all of the literature says you probably aren't going to get it the first time if you have to clear it out. So if you have more time in another month, you'll see sprouts coming up that you miss. But two, no one can say you didn't give me enough time to clear it out. I like the 120 days, but I'm pointing this out to council because if you think 60 days is a good number for the timeline, that's fine. It could be 90 days, but I've written it. All you would have to do is change the 100 to 90, whatever. And I have the 120. If it starts in winter, then it restarts. Or doesn't restart, it really starts April 1st. Just to continue to get a few more points in, my main concern for starting this project was if this gets into the riparian buffer along the creek, that's a serious issue to remove. And old skunky and banks. Interestingly enough, in all the ordinances that I read, I was looking specifically for mention of how they dealt with riparian buffers, waterways. I found nothing. None of the ordinances dealt with what I was looking for. They dealt with sidewalk streets, and I don't know how or why wasn't mentioned, and I looked hard. So I wrote in, 40 feet from the riparian buffer, 40 feet from the banks of Old Skunky. My point here is I'm concerned about the wording of that, and I'm sure the solicitor will look at this closely, that the wording is more appropriately legal for those specific things, because I wrote that in, and that's a, please.
Is there any environmental impact reason why we can't just prohibit any new plantings of bamboo in any way, shape, or form?
Well, it does.
It says under the, it lists,
if you've got it, you can't have it any closer.
It says
section 4 now.
Shall not be planted.
The planting or growing of bamboo shall be prohibited within the borough unless. Does there need to be an unless?
If you want a pot of it on
your porch.
Yeah, or an olive tank.
See, one of the individuals in the Shade Tree Commission said, well, my mother has it in a planter, and she likes it on her deck. So that's written in for people who want to put it in a planter on their deck for their patio.
That's fine, I just thought. Easier just
doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Ted, we do have a number of large stands of bamboo in Old Stumpy.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
We have a huge one down by State Street. We've got one up at Washington Avenue. I'm not sure about in between.
Oh, yeah.
But we do. This is already a problem. God.
Look what my computer background is.
So bamboo, right? That's what Old Skunky will look like.
The background of the day.
Yeah. So in terms of removing it, well, I guess one of the questions is, so Old Skunky is entirely privately owned with the exception of a few short plants. So basically, it's within private property and could be crossing both sides of Old Skunky and still be on that same property. So you're hoping that the riparian buffer section here will address that.
Exactly. I'm concerned about my wording to address that and address conserving the riparian buffer.
Right.
Well, I think you have your direction, Greg.
Our review. Yeah, I've worked on several of these. Based on what's been discussed, it seems like the meat and potatoes are there, and we'll work on just refining it for use. One of them, I think, is most of our ordinances have regulations, including the bamboo that's planted in pots, because there's other considerations for that too. So we'll work on it to get an inflating form for your review next month. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, Gil. Thank you, Ted. Anything else? Okay. Any old business? Announcements? Any public to be heard? Yeah, please.
Tim Jones from Penn Street. I'm one of the people that is currently doing a small addition on my house on Penn Street. So I would ask that the council potentially soften the mandate, to be honest, tearing down a house and building a house, much different situation than what I'm trying to finance at a much smaller scale. So if somebody were to come to me in a week or two and say, oh, by the way, you have to regrade your front yard and try to figure out how to put a sidewalk in by myself, fully paying for that, that's a financial consideration. I think we're netting out an extra 150 or 200 square feet. And I've reached out over the years. And listen, maybe there's a distinction where if it's a developer, you know, that's different now. I mean, if somebody coming in from a different area that's saying, hey, I'm going to build this house, spec, and sell it, then sure. But, you know, a resident that's been paying taxes for 11 years, and also that's reached out to the council over the years, advocating for potential grants and things like that. You know, we've done feasibility studies on pedestrian safety, and, you know, Penn Street always comes up as kind of a buzz area. So to be honest, it sounds like you're taking a little bit of the easy way out, just saying, hey, resident.
You explain what you mean by that.
Why not go for a grant? Why not Safe Route to School grant? I mean, we're less than a mile from Goodnow Elementary, and my kids, we can't walk that direction, even though it's shorter. So we go a longer way to where sidewalks are. So how about leveraging a grant to,
it doesn't mean we wouldn't, but the concept of for homes or possibly home improvements of a certain size requiring sidewalk to be put in it makes all the sense in the world. And if you think about every other sidewalk that's seen today was put in by that property owner or some prior property owner at their expense.
When it's being built.
Right. If it's a grant, that's one thing, but it's a matching grant, which means we're also using tax dollars for that sidewalk. So I think it's appropriate in some instances to require those sidewalks to go in. I take your point, and it's really part of the discussion that we had. At what size of improvement should we apply this? Obviously, with a tear down, we're all on board that it should. I don't think we went much farther, if any farther than that, in our discussion today. But there's that whole gray area between a tear down and somebody wanting to put a patio in the back or something, right? So where that ends up is TBD, but I don't think we were talking today about enforcing a requirement for something small. And
we still have to iron all that out. Yeah. We still have to iron all that out. It is a consideration, and we that is part of the process, is that consideration. Okay. So
I do still think, I mean, I would love, even if I'm exempt from that, if there was a grant where even I kicked in some dollars to pay for that, I'm sure my neighbors would as well. So I think kind of going the diplomatic route might be a
So Chris, this is public to be heard.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah,
not
okay.
really a back and forth.
The concept of sidewalks on that street has been around for many, many years for grading and many issues. If it hasn't been tackled, but we're going to start to tackle it.
Yeah. Meaning it was cost pivot, right? That one of the big
again, not a back and forth conversation, public to be heard. You guys can totally have this conversation out of public to be heard.
Tim, I'll talk to you later.
There you go. All right, thanks, Tim.
Yeah, I came because I thought the Liberty Center might be on the agenda tonight. Is there somewhere where I can? I have the building 110 and I have 9 tenants who are all concerned about changing the roadway behind through the parking lot to a one-way instead of two-way, and they'd like me to be present and express that concern to whether it's the planning commission or the council. And I have a hard time finding out when and where there was going to be any meeting where I could be expressing that subject could be discussed.
So I don't think you need to wait for a meeting. I think you can reach out to the subcommittee and express your concerns, meet with them, and they'll.
Well, thank you. I was going to be out of the country in the first week in June. In my previous experiences, the meetings were always held when I'm somewhere. Just unrelated, I can tell you a little bit about the history of the restrooms here. Because I was involved in the court that changed the trust. There was a trust with $80,000 in it. When I took over the building, the public restrooms were there, in spite of the public opinion that putting a law office instead of a restroom was downgrading the property. But in any event, the agreement was the Orphans Court, that the public restrooms would be taken out of that office building, and $80,000 given, I think it was to the borough for the construction of this whole addition, which was to include public restrooms, because they were doing away with public restrooms there. So that's the history.
We
don't
know bathrooms.
We really do.
Well, that whole thing is based on that money.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Great. Well, thank you. That's nice information to know. Any additional public to be heard? Please.
Yes. Rick Ramville, dual resident and owner of Newtown Redler. Curiosity that Tony has, since we're neighbors there. We leased the building from Alan Smith, who still owns it, I think, sending him rent in. But obviously, we have an interest in that as well, but we can follow. I do have a question. Would it be possible to give us a 30-second overview of where the process is with regard to Liberty Center in terms of, you know, its proposal submitted? What's the next step? How does this work? Just doesn't have to be elaborate.
I can give you the 30-second version.
Yes.
Okay. So the only application that was brought so far officially was a sketch plan that was presented to the Planning Commission some months back. Okay. They have proposed to Borough Council that we consider an overlay ordinance that would permit them to build what they would like to build, which is not in compliance with our zoning ordinance at the moment. The small committee has been looking at their proposal and what they want to do and how that development might affect the downtown, since it is a third of our downtown. The reason that we have come to the conclusion that we would like to employ a planner would be to help us get a better idea of how that area should be developed for the betterment of the town. And so nothing is official yet. They haven't put in a preliminary plan application, so it's not ready to go to the Planning Commission. Nothing has happened. There's just all this conversation happening like around that. And but feel free to contact any of us on the committee and
so give us your thoughts. So obviously it's very fluid with regard to like traffic.
And nothing has been established yet. Nothing.
Okay. It's early stages.
It's very early stages.
Okay, that's helpful. One quick comment, which I didn't intend listening to the discussion. As someone having a front row seat, like all of us really, to the sewer, the gas line project, you know, and I'm sympathetic to the people doing the work because it's always more complicated than it appears to the layman that I am. But I think it's fair to say it was not well managed in my judgment. I think a lot of people would agree with it. Meaning, an odd sequencing of construction, which was very disruptive, particularly to State Street, where we have business, I do. So that was obviously front and center in my mind. Question for you to consider or thought when you're dealing with the impending installation of this fiber optic. What latitude do we have as a borough to request a plan, a sequence, some sort of fairly detailed process that they're, you know, obligated to follow because the sewer guy or gas guys were back up and down the street. Just today, they closed down State again down toward the bypass, you know, I noticed. So just a thought for consideration while you're going through this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional public to be heard? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Like to make a motion to adjourn our meeting.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Thank you, everybody.
Get it, dude, get it.
It's still passing.
Get out.
I'm fascinated by your tablet. Does that show up on your computer?
Not directly. It can. You can transfer the notes over. It stores it as a notepad. So I mean, I can erase it, write on it. By this one, I can
colors.
There is a function that I can select it, and it will turn my handwriting into text. I can import PDFs down here and then mark up PDFs and then export them out again. So, we did these. My partner, Lauren, and I had one for a while, and then this past year, we got one for everybody in the firm. So instead of carrying around yellow notepads.
But you could do that in yellow if you want, right?
I could, yeah. But these are now all the clients I work on, and I have all my notes for all the projects in one place, and this is the only thing I'm carrying around with me. So
then when it's like you plug it into a USB port,
But then but everything syncs through, there's an online portal. That you can manage all the documents, and just drag and drop things back and forth. Yeah, it's kind of remarkable. It's super useful. So.
Other tools, okay.
Yeah, but probably the most useful point that I start with.
Judy, you need to turn this meeting off.
That looks like go all night.
Yeah. I'm going to go there with those.